So one of the funnier stories of today that caught my attention, evidently a cow. Yes, a cow, one of the four-legged ones with the milk and all that. Evidently a cow was on the Major Deegan Expressway in New York, tied up traffic this afternoon as motorists, in New York. I guess I've now seen everything. I guess if it isn't Chris Christie closing down an exit, it's not a cow running wild on the Major Deegan. And my question is, how the hell did a cow get on a major U.S. highway and just running around, especially that one? And speaking of cows, evidently this morning, Representative Devin Nunes, the former chair of the House Intelligence Committee, suing Twitter and the Twitter users of Devin Nunes' mom and Devin Nunes' cow. Evidently, he's suing for $250 million because they said mean things. But you go, you're an elected official. How are you doing that? Anyway, here to share some thoughts on Cowgate, I've asked our good friend Andrea Chalupa to come talk with us. She is a journalist, author of Orwell and the Refugees, and co-host of Gaslit Nation, one of my favorite podcasts. Andrea, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
So move on over. The cows are loose.
That is right. Nunes' lawyers are loose. I'm actually the best person to bring on for Cowgate because I've got some fun facts.
Hit me.
Like, this is our second loose cow. We had one in Brooklyn at Prospect Park in November, I believe, of 2017 that ran amok. And the same situation is, you know, how did this cow get out there? So we have some tenacious cows here in New York City.
How did they get there? How do they get there? Is it the aliens bringing them back?
Well, they are escaping the slaughterhouse trucks, actually. Oh. That cow in Prospect Park, that's what finally got me to stop eating meat, just FYI. Oh. And I shit off the weight. I got healthier and faster and more endurance. So I actually love these little cows coming around and sending us important messages. Stop eating meat. It's bad for your environment. It's bad for your heart. And also, Devin Nunes is an idiot. And we have free speech rights. So yeah. Thank you, cows.
Yeah, I saw this and I'm going, what exactly is this idiot doing? Because, you know, I was reading something that said, you know, before he brought up this suit, you know, Devin Nunes' cows had like, you know, I don't know, like 1,200 followers. And now it's got like 70,000. I've actually followed it.
Right. Yeah, never a good strategy to give free PR to people, like really random people that make fun of you on Twitter. This was what you were seeing here with Nunes's bizarre lawsuit and his promise of more lawsuits to come. It's like the timing of it is so funny because this week in Russia, for instance, RT now forbids its employees from criticizing the company for 20 years after they've been let go from the company.
Wow.
20 years. And on top of that, this week, Putin signs a number of laws making it illegal to disrespect him, the government, Russian symbols, all of it, and spreading so-called fake news online. So your podcast, for instance, the conversation we're having, that could be fake news if we were inside Russia. We could be jailed and fined. So all of this is very much in this dark spirit of censorship and attack on the First Amendment that Nunes is trying to enact in our own country. So what you're really seeing in Devin Nunes is a wannabe autocrat without absolute power. That's what they look like.
No, you're really, right. And really I want to thank you for stealing my segue into something serious, because that's exactly where I was going. In fact, you know, the fine is $1.5 million. I'm not quite sure how much a ruble is worth in dollars, but $1.5 million of them sounds like an awful lot. And evidently, any publication found guilty of spreading, quote, unreliable, socially significant information. Don't know what that is, but okay. I guess individuals can be fined and also spend 15 days in jail for publishing material online that clearly disrespect for society, the state, official state symbols of Russian Federation, the Constitution of the Russian Federation, and bodies exercising state power. So basically, you say anything against your government, they're coming for you.
Right. You can't have Putin's mom or Putin's cow on Twitter inside Russia. So,
but that's one of the great things about here. We actually have free speech rights against our government and their officials. I mean, this is why Nunes's suit is so ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, but what Nunes is doing is he's giving you insight into autocrats. Like if you wonder how these iron curtains go up, how societies close down and become prisons, it's largely driven by clowns like Devin Nunes. Hitler, for instance, was laughed at. He was considered a ridiculous little man. Like, people didn't take him seriously. We all laughed at Trump. In Turkey, they laughed at Erdogan. He came across as how we saw George W. Bush when he was first running against Gore. And in Putin, of course, they laughed at him as well. And then Putin, when he came in and consolidated power, he actually shut down this TV network that had a popular comedy show that would make fun of him. But Putin still remains a clown. And so, in fact, a lot of Russian analysts and Russian journalists will yell at us here in the U.S. saying, stop, make Putin looking like some international man of mystery, some master chess player of the universe. But in reality, if you're stuck living under him, if you're stuck being exposed to him and all the crazy things he says every day and the ridiculous things he does, he's a clown. So the clown never changes. What happens is the clown just gets absolute power and crushes its opponents and creates a terror regime. But they're still, first and foremost, a ridiculous little scared, thin-skinned imbecile like Devin Nunes.
Who's giving away the game plan. Because, you know, you looked at Trump's tweets today. I don't know if you saw them. But again, attacking the news media. You know, the fake news media has never been more dishonest or corrupt, he tweeted out. There has never been a time like this in American history. You go, one, do you know anything about American history? I mean, I really want to ask him about these tweets sometimes.
Right. I mean, speaking of clown. Yeah. I mean, these guys are, I mean, the attack on the press when he had that press conference with the clown of Brazil, the president of Brazil, the Trump of Brazil. I mean, they're sort of love fest in their attack on the press and all of it. I mean, I just wanted to underline the point because we all had a field day yesterday on Twitter with Devin Nunes' lawsuits. And that just really underlines the fact that you can, the one thing that helps these guys like Trump come to power and get to this point where he's waging war on journalists and putting the lives of journalists and Muslim Americans and Jewish Americans and people of color, all of, you know, so many vulnerable communities on the line and vulnerable more than ever. The reason why these guys are helped so much is because we don't see them coming. We don't take them seriously. We laugh at them. Like, we all laughed on Twitter at Devin Nunes. And that is part of the way they sort of sneak in. They're brazen. They're idiots. They're absolutely idiots, but they're also absolutely brazen. And they wear you down with their attacks, with their violent rhetoric, and they just keep wearing you down. They change norms. And next thing you know, the society as you know it has transformed.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, it's one of these things I've been saying, you know, I'm worried of, I'm really extremely concerned about Trump and the normalization of chaos. Because when the next guy comes in who seems rational, but is as crazy as a loon, as long as he's not doing the circus antics that Trump's doing, you know, I think we'll all lull to sleep. And to me, that's the real danger.
Yes, without question. And in fact, Sarah and I make this point all the time on Gaslit Nation, where we're always pointing out how Jared and Ivanka are far more dangerous than the father, because they are exactly like the father. They're grifters. They sell out their country. They're selling state security secrets to enrich themselves. They helped in the murder of Jamal Khashoggi. They have no morals, but they're wrapped up in a prettier package. So to your point, we don't see them coming. We tolerate them better. We stomach them better. And they can get away with far more just by looking polished and presenting themselves as polished.
Yeah, they scare me more than anything, though, because they look like soulless televangelists.
Oh, without question. I mean, Vicky Ward, who did that big book on them, Kushner, Inc., she examined them up close. She came out with the same conclusion, that they're far more dangerous than the father because they present better. And they're not going to be, the chaos will be there, but it's going to be less of a clown show. And so less sort of noticeable. And we'll sort of be worn down by their abuses of power and their corruption and less likely to fight it because they're not broadcasting it over Twitter constantly throughout the day.
Yeah. Do you think we're going to wake up to this? I mean, you know, I'm everybody keeps hoping that something will come out of the Mueller investigation, and, you know, they say something soon may pop. You know, we see today that evidently Mueller's team had been, you know, watching Cohen for much longer than they had before they raided him. Do we have any hope in this, or, you know, are we on this path and there's really no stopping it?
Yeah, no, I think this is a long-term battle. Whatever, I mean, it's the battle of our lifetimes. It's just not going away anytime soon because a lot of how we got here was we fell asleep. I mean, under Obama, the two terms that he served as president, the Democrats lost, like, I think, around 1,000 legislative seats across the country. And I think we just had these false expectations, this sort of Hollywood happy ending that we elected the first black president in 2008, and everything was, and he was a committed Democrat with a beautiful, wholesome family. And that was going to be, you know, that was a wonderful sort of continuation of the American dream and the promise of an inevitability of progress. And then we took a huge slide back, clearly, and it's never been more dangerous for us. I mean, if you look at the Republican Party, it's a far right movement with authoritarian ambition, aided by a terrorist organization, the NRA, and a terrorist regime, the Kremlin. Like, we can't let our guard down for a second.
Yeah, I know. I remember, you know, you go back to the 90s when Pat Buchanan was running, and, you know, he's now a liberal in the Republican Party.
Jeez.
I mean,
it's,
you know, because I was saying
so
back then,
what you just said.
You know, I was saying back then, you know, Buchanan's speeches were much better read in their original German. And you know, people are, no, you're the Republican Party is. They go, no, this is who they are. They're just now not ashamed to show who they are.
It's like the KKK masks, the hoods are off. You know what I was thinking about last night, because I couldn't sleep because I just don't really sleep well for a very long time since this guy's come to power. But I was thinking about the show Family Ties. Did you ever watch Family Ties?
Yeah, some of it.
So Alex P. Keaton, like the ultra-conservative son, it was sort of like, it was this funny tension because his parents were baby boomers.
Yeah,
and
Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, Michael J. Fox, so that character. He's like adorable now. if you think about that kind of Republican, he's like a Joe Manchin kind of Republican now today, compared to what he was on the show, being all outrageous and ultra conservative. Like, I would settle for like an Alex P. Keaton Republican Party, hands down.
Yeah, if you could get that, you know. And I talk to my Republican friends. I go, look, Ronald Reagan could not get elected in this party. Eisenhower would be unrecognizable. There's no Lincoln. Stop with the party of Lincoln. Stop with the party of Reagan. They're unrecognizable in the white supremacist party.
Exactly. It is a far right global takeover that we're seeing. That's being largely driven by the Kremlin, by Kremlin funding. Even in the latest Cohen filings, you saw one of like the 10 top richest Russians funneling money to Cohen. You do not get to survive to be one of the richest people inside Russia without playing closely with Putin and the Kremlin. And that oligarch, Bexelberg, was funneling money to Cohen. And that's what the FBI just uncovered in these redacted volumes of filings coming out on Cohen. And so he was bankrolled essentially by a oligarch close to the Kremlin, who was bankrolling a lot of the GOP in 2016. So it's scary times. It's like this really, what we're seeing is a coordinated effort. It's driven by Bannon. It's driven by American oligarchs like Robert Mercer. It's driven by Russian oligarchs like Deripaska and a whole host of others. And they're doing it to divide the Western alliance, to weaken the Western alliance, so they can operate without any accountability and enrich themselves, and that includes invading neighboring countries and taking a staunch position against human rights. When you had Rex Tillerson come in as Secretary of State, he said the United States no longer stands for human rights. And he started pulling us out of all types of places and cutting programming for civic journalists, like civic activists, investigative journalists living on the front lines of the most violent kleptocracies, including inside Africa, and pulling the U.S. out of Africa. And then Russia comes in and fills that void with its private army and starts enriching itself off of, picking up, like just coming in there and stealing more ground from the U.S. vacuum of power. So All of this is very, it's like we're talking about we can make jokes about Devin Nunes and Twitter all we want, but what we're seeing with that autocratic sort of symptom of Devin Nunes doing that, stunt, a man who does a lot of Banana Republic-like stunts to protect the president. What we're really talking about is a massive, massive, massive shift in the world order. In 3-4 years, we're going to have an all new world order as this kind of continues to swirl and this coalition of autocrats and continue to consolidate their power and gain more ground.
You're seeing a bunch of far right leaders coming to power in places like Poland and other places where you go. How many more of those can we have before eventually they take over?
I mean, they're doing a damn good job. I mean, look at Brexit, which if you look at this swirling mess that tipped the Brexit vote, that was the same coalition of corruption which helped get Trump elected. We're talking about dark money coming from the Kremlin. We're talking about golden handcuffs from the Kremlin on conservative members of parliament. We're talking about Robert Mercer and Steve Bannon founding Cambridge Analytica, which is militarized PR, which used all these sort of digital campaigns that were like targeting misinformation, fake news, scare tactics to try to drive out the Brexit voters, including stolen Facebook data. So, I mean, that's just everything I just listed off was very much in play in helping tilt the scales for Trump in 2016. It's the same exact playbook of corruption. And so it's very, very scary. We're getting to the point now where you listed off some countries right now that have turned far right and you left off a bunch.
No, there are a bunch. And I was thinking Italy and I was thinking a couple other places.
But we're at the point now where it's easier to count like who's left. There's France, barely. Macron's under a lot of pressure with the yellow vest protests turning violent and being basically a free-for-all for people that just want to come and create violence and just slap on whatever agenda they personally have. So there's no real unified message with yellow vest, which means it could easily be co-opted by the far right, which it has already, as we've seen not only in France, but the UK and Canada and Germany as well. And then you have Merkel, and Merkel herself, her government itself, is being attacked by hacking and the same sort of stuff we're seeing in these other democracies. And then Trudeau in Canada, which is, you know, and Chrystia Freeland's holding it down as the foreign minister of Canada. But I've heard for years that Russian oligarchs are trying to come into Canada and get a really strong foothold and spread their golden handcuffs around. I've heard that for years. And other things too. So Canada itself is vulnerable. What I've been hearing in my various trips there. So it is scary times indeed. And what we all do is just stay engaged, stay vigilant. Like our democracy, our lives depend on it because they very much do. And what we have to do is just we have to wear them down. We do not allow them to wear you down. We have to wear them down. And so you can laugh at Devin Nunes, but you also have to be outraged and get out the vote, knock on doors, reform the voting, make it secure, make voting machines with having like paper audit trails, and just expand voting rights, all of it. We all have to be ambitious now for the kind of country we want to live in. Bring back unions in a very big way. All of that, like strengthen the social fabric. The stronger, the healthier we are as a society, the more progressive, the harder it will be for them to infiltrate and attack us.
Yeah. No, I mean, because they're doing a really great job of distracting us from all of the kleptocracy, all of the crimes, all of the shifts in our long-term policy that most people aren't even paying attention to. So in looking at, you know, this field of Democrats that are, you know, throwing their hats into the ring, do you have any hope for any of them?
I'm excited for all of them. I personally like a big party. So
yeah,
for me
too, but I hope it doesn't devolve into chaos and them eating each other.
Well, certainly. No one wants to relive that again. And I think some of Bernie Sanders' recent hiring choices just announced today, like Sirota and some others, there were some of the more divisive voices in 2016. And there certainly were divisive in the lead up to this primary. So I think there are very valid concerns there, but I think if we learn from the mistakes made in 2016, that we cannot tolerate that from anyone. And we need to just smack it down as soon as that starts and just really focus on making it one big dinner table conversation of ideas and how to strengthen our country and have an ambitious progressive agenda and fight for our values.
There's no one that I'm 100% behind at this moment. I wish whoever it is has Elizabeth Warren's policy. I hope whoever it is has Beto's charisma. I hope whoever it is has, Biden's steady hand. You know, you go down the list of taking one characteristic from each of them. Kamala Harris's personality. You know, you go down the list, and I hope they have all of that. I just haven't seen one person yet that I'm thrilled with. And the latest showing by Beto, I'm not a Beto fan, so I'm going, I don't know.
I'm not a Beto fan either, simply because I think, especially in the 21st century, where we're dealing with an all new set of challenges, and a lot of how we got Trump in the first place is that the U.S. government was in the media was simply not ready for the challenges of the 21st century. Like, we were, like, how long did the FBI let the Russian hackers hang out in the DNC? As just one example, and not understanding that kleptocracy operates internationally. It's an international crime syndicate now. So, for instance, Bernie Sanders, you can't talk about income inequality, rage against it here in the U.S., and conveniently miss votes or vote against sanctioning Russian oligarchs, who are, especially those that are emboldening our own oligarchs here. So I think what I have not seen at all from any of the candidates, except I would say to Warren, is that they're not addressing the challenges of the 21st century, the ones that absolutely sidelined us and got us Trump in the first place.
No, you're right.
And that's election security and taking on kleptocracy anywhere in the world.
No, I'm right there with you. But ultimately, it's going to come down to us voting and voting in overwhelming numbers order for this to happen. I hope we don't eat ourselves. Last question I've got for you, because, I keep putting a lot of faith in this and hope in this Mueller report. Do you think we're going to see it?
Dude, I think the stakes have never been higher. And so our side is fighting to get that Mueller report released. But keep in mind, we could be outmaneuvered easily by the other side. Just to give you an example of how that could happen, Mueller in 2011 in a speech promised he'd grab the head of the Russian mafia and keep him on the 10 most wanted list until he was caught. A few years later in 2015, Comey, as director of the FBI, takes him off the most wanted list. Why would you take the Russian head of the mafia off the most wanted list? Makes no sense. Nobody's been able to answer that. And then you have this Russian mafia asset elected president in 2016. So what I'm saying is that our institutions that are built to protect us can fail us, as we've seen with the FBI alone in the lead up to Trump's election. Like, they knew who Manafort was, and they didn't arrest him sooner, and they let him manage a major campaign for president. So all these things are, all you and I have known, especially you with your work with the unions, is institutional failure. So I think at any moment, the Democrats, even given their best efforts, even given winning over some Republicans to their side, can get outmaneuvered, because we're dealing with just unfathomable corruption now at the highest levels.
And enormous, enormous amounts of money. I mean, it's just...
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
Just incredible.
Exactly right.
Andrea, as always, enlightening, enraging, and really scary stuff. Appreciate the time.
Thank you so much. And cut down on your meat.
There you
go. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks so much. Our good friend, Andrea Chalupa. Make sure you check out her podcast, Gaslit Nation. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people.